continue. Okay, so let's begin. We're up to over here on Daf Tes Amid Beis. Choyvas Zihirus B'Nikiyoin HaTalis. A person's talis should be sparkling clean.
Oh, you sound like my wife.
What? What did you say?
You sound like my wife. Talis is supposed to become yellow.
Rashi,
from Rashi, it's mashma that not only the tzitzis should be sparkling clean, but the talis itself. Because the tzitzis have to be clean, and there's no harm paying a lot of money for this. After he concludes warning us that the talis should be clean, Kosav. Okay, Kosav kama mehagnus, kama mehagnus, vehabush lemishem slabish meluboshim noim, kasher kama mehagnus vehabush lemishem slabish meluboshim noim kasher tasig yodai, but the talis bolui vikaru, a person wears $1,000 suit, but his talis is a shmata, this is not a good thing. Yilovash busha v'yisatev chlima v'navsha t'yaguma v'yidag mina ha'nekama rachmano litzlan. Okay, so whatever this means is, you know, today a talis, and the most expensive talis, I don't think is more than $150.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
160.
$160?
What's that?
I thought I said over
$200.
Well,
yeah.
Now I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Years since
over $200, really?
Yeah.
If you go to where they make it, like, you know, it's in the corner of Bar Park.
Keter.
It's a lot cheaper.
They always sell that's very popular.
Yeah, okay. There are different ways. Kata, there's Malchus, some brand called Malchus, is another brand also. There are three or four different brands, popular brands. And they're pretty much the same. What? Yeah, okay.
Does this apply to a talis chalukat nosa?
No, that's the difference. See, that's asking a very good question. The difference between the talis chot and the talis gadol is a talis gadol itself is a chefsa shel mitzvah. And the proof to this is the Medrash that says that Kadosh Baruch Hu was nis'atef the talis v'heru loy Moshe seder tefillah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated to Moshe Rabbeinu the koyach of davening, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavir himself, he embraced himself in a talis. When you say the Hagdama, the L'shem Yichud, before you put on a talis, you have all these psukim of Oiter, Ka'ar, Salma, all of these psukim allude to the Kedusha that lies in the garment itself. Then there are the tzitzis. Now the talis is not the actual mitzvah. The talis is just the hechatimsa, so you can rekayim the mitzvah. Four corners you can put on the tzitzis. You only make a bracha on the tzitzis, you don't make a bracha on the garment. But yet, Chazal, over and over, and we're reading over here, is they ascribe very great significance to the talis itself. And therefore, the talis has to be muhudar, has to be clean, has to be sparkling, has to make an impression. And that's why there's somehow the Atara really just to reminding you which are the tzitzis that are in the front should remain in the front, but the Atara to some degree also takes on significance that it beautifies the talis itself. Some people there's an Atara, we once discussed an Atara in the middle of the talis. In the middle. And then they have special material along the sides of the talis.
Get ruined.
But once they do it already, they start doing it nice. And then every couple of years they change the style in one of the fringes on the side of the talis. They have all different
double knots,
single knots, multiple layers of knots. This goes out of style. I once had a discussion with one of the people who sells. I asked him, I saw once his yid. I saw a certain style of how it was knotted. So he told me, yeah, they used to make that, but it went out of style. I didn't know there was a style to the those fringes on the side of the talus. Everything is a business. Yeah, that's also absolutely. This is the manufacturer. And then even the
fringes are not necessary.
Of course not. They're not necessary. Yes, you could shave them off. Absolutely. The only that's necessary. In fact, they can make things worse. They can make a very halachic. They can make a lot of halachic complications. Because there's a very big question: where exactly do you put the tzitzis? And if you have the fringes going to the very going all the way up to the corner of the beged, so then it's a no-win situation where you insert the tzitzis, because the tzitzis cannot be too close to the edge and cannot be too, it cannot be in. You're not letting them move it within the area of the garment itself. That is why on all the talesos, they're very careful. There are no fringes along the corner. The fringes stop short of the actual corner, because if they get too close to the corner, you're entering into a very halachic nightmare. Where exactly should you insert the tzitzis? On the other hand, a talis katan is not a beged that has much halachic significance. The talis katan is nothing more than a means to have tzitzis. You need a garment that has four corners in order that you can insert the tzitzis. But the garment itself is not significant. And therefore, there's no, as long as no one smells it, as long as no one sees the yellow, no one sees it, it really doesn't make a difference. And all of these asharis, today's warning, all of the psukim that we read, when you put on when the Lashem Yichud, is all for the talis gadol. Not that you never saw someone have an atara on the talis katan. On the other hand, you know, they do have the Hasidim who have the custom to wear their talis katan out. Yeah. So they are mahader. To some, they do have the lines. They have fringes also.
Yeah,
they have fringes and they have lines. It's also a design. If you notice, every few years, every so often, they change the style of the black lines. The reason why we have black lines on the talus, Ashkenazim, is a zeche for the tcheles.
Right.
Since we don't have tcheles, so we know that we should not forget there's something called tcheles, so we have the black lines. But it doesn't say anywhere how the black lines are to be arranged. A thick black line, a thin black line, gray, white, and black. Some of them are very sophisticated.
You're on parole.
Okay. So these things are all a matter of style, but over here he makes a point that you have to understand this chilek between the talus gadol, which is an object of mitzvah, whereas a talus katan is not an object of mitzvah. It's just a hechetimsa. It's a means of having four corners so you can have the ikar, which are the tzitzis. V'chein kasa berchas yosher shemutul ala tzibo lehistakel al talus shetia kesheira v'sheyu hatzitzis mechubasim mishum ze keli v'anveu pam achas bo soicher echad meir Frank, what is that from? Frankie, whatever it is. The Nasla Talasakas Lewats and Lushan Nation, you between who is dirty, the Omar, Lomia, Acholik Noya, Mukubis, Vatals, and the East. Why is your garment so beautiful? That Tals Maluchlok, Velotia, they had its Kipun Docus, this is, and a Kohenes should not be, it's an expression, a Kohenes should not be. I'm not sure what that means exactly. Veshut Maharib Beroyino Kosav, an innkeeper. And a kohenes means a priest. So you should. What?
Why isn't yours like
Kohena?
Like the shopkeepers.
Like the shopkeepers, that your talis should be beautiful. Veshut Maharib Beroyino Kosav Shehoyu Regilim Beir Rhinos Bimei Hagedolim Kol Mi Shekoine Talis Chadosho Likroisa L'Sef. So you get an aliyah. The day that you wear a new talis, you get an honor. It's a simcha, and you get an aliyah. L'Farseim Heach Zehirim B'Chivuv HaMitzvah. And you make a shechiyon. There's no question about it. You do. Yes, I believe you do. I'm almost certain. You buy a new talis gadol, even a talis katan, some make a shechiyanu. That already is already become, people don't do that anymore. But a talis gadol, is definitely, it's a simcha, it's a new baget, it's a new baget, it's davar chashuv. You don't get it every single day, and you definitely make a shachrianu, there's no question about it. When you get a new talis kol, you get a shachrianu. You know, something that bothers me, I know in certain shuls that people, this is mamashu, says over here, people, they have a custom, so, you know, some shuls have a lot of talisos. Where do they come from? So unfortunately, you know where they come from? When people they buy a new talis, what should I do with the talis? Well, I'll give it to the shul. So that attitude is mamish 100% fakir, what it says over here in this shtickle. Is if it's not good enough for you because it's already dirty and your wife is complaining that it's time for a new talis, so what, you go give it to the shul? So it's good enough for the tzibur? Tzibur has a lower standard.
It's not the chayim.
There's a different thing. The shuls today embroider the name of the shul on one of the corners.
Yes, you should steal it. Right. Well, people do it on their own talis also. People embroider on their own talis.
In fact,
in Eretz Yisrael, you know, they do the show, a lot of the bar mitzvah boys, the parents, they embroider the telephone number on their talis bag.
Right.
On the back of the talis bag, besides the name, you know, they have the telephone number embroidered, like they have their name.
There's a gemach in Israel of lost tefillin. I think of the years that they had that returned 250, there's a whole story
about
this. There are Arabs that will pray around in Miron to grab tefillin, and then they sell it. And a guy who knows a guy wants it, so he gives him, I'll give you $20 for it, whatever. And then he traces the people down.
If someone loses tefillin, can use that tefillin, you need tefillin?
Possibly, but yes. You can even, the proof is that if you come into a shul and you don't have tefillin, make a right, then you're allowed to take someone's tefillin. You're allowed to borrow without permission.
There's lost tefillin, the gemach, and people borrowing.
To a certain degree, you can't go use it, you can't give it away to where it's going to be abused, but to a certain degree, it's mutter.
What do you do if you have an old tefillin? You shouldn't leave it to the shul. What should you do with it?
There's nothing you can do with it. You can throw it out. No, you can throw it out. Yeah, you can. You can. You can, but not b'derech b'zoyin. You can throw it out in a way that it's not disgraceful. You wrap up in a plastic bag, and you put it with the recyclables. You're not going to get a ticket. Don't worry. You don't know. You don't have to get tzitzis off. If you want to replace the tzitzis, sometimes the people just replace. No, you don't have to. No, you do not. No. Okay, so this is a very interesting. So that if the talis is not good enough for you, why do people have the attitude that it's good enough for the shul? When you get a new talis and you buy for the shul, a new talis also. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, shuls, they have to exchange. In Eretz Yisrael, the Kaisel, they used to clean out. As I read it, I don't know if this is true because I was just there and it doesn't appear to be true. But I read online that at the Kaisel, every 6 months, they clean out all of the Sidurim and Chumashim and Tehillim and they replace it. Because since there's so much traffic, there are people there, people have diseases. And then they came out, they did symbols. The government went, they did symbols on the Sidurim at the Kosel. They sampled bacteria and they found that it was infested with all types of bacteria. So they adopted a new policy where every 3 months they clean out every single Sidur at the Kosel and replace it. I was there recently. It does not appear that the Sidurim were three months. It appeared to me that they were more than 3 months old. So I don't know if this is true or not.
They do it because they can charge no money for the people.
Okay, that's another thing, but there's health issues. So, alachas kam v'kam, you have a talis in a shul, you're ready, you know, after a year, after a few months, depending on how much traffic you have in the shul, it's very kedai that, you know, the amount of traffic that a talis gets in shul is a lot more than the talis that an average person has, and it's definitely a da'a mechuder for the talisim in the shul to be replaced more often than they currently are. Next sugya. They send it out. They send it out. Listen, I can tell you when you're. Well, yeah.
What's with the tzitzis itself? They put the glue.
Okay, the new thing is they put glue. You're allowed to do that. Parts can they put a light amount of glue? They do it in two places. They put glue on the tips. They all do that now. And then some they also put glue on the knots, so the knot should not open up.
The
last knot should not open up. So some hold you shouldn't do that because glue makes it like one mass. It's no longer called separate. Okay, but the minig is to be makel.
It's an big cooler of everyone, because when you hold your tzitzis and you tighten it on Shabbos,
it's Chol Shabbos. That's Slamish Chol Shabbos. So don't tighten it. Look, today we have your sefer today by tefillin. Today it's a very big hiddur not to have any glue in tefillin. So it became like almost a mishigas. All of the old tefillin, probably everyone that we're wearing, everyone over here, has glue. Every pair of old tefillin, it was impossible.
Said it was okay.
It was okay. They put a small amount of glue on the bottom. They don't do it all the way out. Type it on the glue. But today became a very big thing today. Glueless tefillin. No, they made able to make the tefillin with new technology with no glue. Yet it's a new invention that when it comes to tzitzis, just the opposite. Today you go.
Somewhere.
Now the tzitzis, all of a sudden they have not invented a technology where they can twine the threads in a way where it would catch and it would not fall out. Derech klal, you buy tzitzis, it's much better to buy the thinner tzitzis. They're just as kosher, the thinner tzitzis, especially talis katan, and they don't come out. The thinner the tzitzis are, they're not. You buy thick tzitzis, that's where you have the problems, and they begin to unwrap.
Does the tzitzis itself have to be one thing? It could be both.
It can be stitched or stitched together. Yes, you can. That's the Shulchan Aruch. It's very all the halachas in the Shulchan Aruch. Yes, it can be stitched together in many pieces. As long as the bottom, it's all stitched together, it's one piece of cloth at the end. Yeah, it does not have to be one continuous cloth. Definitely not. Okay, let's go to the next topic. Next topic over here is Knias Esher Mechuta Mekesef Maaser. Is a person allowed to buy an Esher from Mechuta from Maaser, your Maaser money? A person having glasses today. You look different. You don't have glasses today. You look different without your sunglasses. Knias Esher Mechuta Mekesef Maaser. Beshut Mishne Sochir Kasem Shem Agon Rechaim Berlin. Zatzal. I went to his kever. I went to his kever in Eretz Yisrael. I was shocked because I learned Chaim Berlin. I davened there, and all of a sudden I was in Har HaMenuchas. I was Har HaMenuchas, and I was walking around, and all of a sudden I picked up my eyes, and there I was, the kever of Rabbi Chaim Berlin. I didn't even know he was buried. He was buried in Har. I didn't think he was going to die in Har HaMenuchas. Har HaMenuchas. And I felt like, wow, what a hashkacha. Exactly, from Coney Island to Har HaMenuchas. So, okay. But you kosa b'shem ha'goyin Rabbi Chaim Berlin Zatzal Shema sh'amu b'sugin ad shlish b'shaloi b'kan v'ilch m'shalich v'shbaruch l'haynu sh'ad shlish yeshchiv l'chaysik m'shum hidur ולכן דיפור צורך זה ליוס משלוי ואם רוצה לחייסב יוסי משלוש זה משלוי חדש ברוך הוא דהיינו מוס מייסר if you want to give more אם רוצה לחייסב יוסי משלוש זה משל הקדש ברוך הוא היינו ממוס מייסר he permits it. So Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin says that when you want to be Moisef Mishon Hidr Mitzvah, that's exactly what the Gemara means. It's Mishel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The battery died. Okay, the battery. It's going to be, you can use it, Mishel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hayinu Mimos Maaser, you're allowed to use your Maaser money in order to be Mahader in a Mitzvah. Now this is a very big controversy, this Halacha. Ach, HaNish Tesach HaKasav Lach Leik Al Dvar V'an Deshita. V'inei, B'sefer Lekin Yosha, Kasav B'tchil, Kishahis Chalitin Maaser Tzorch L'Hasna, Shayitin Maaser L'Chodot Dvar Mitzvah. That when a person gives Maaser, you have to make a T'nai, that you're giving the ma'aser l'chol dvar mitzvah, avol mikol makom eino reshah liknes menu loitalis letfilin loyeshug avol pish shem yirtze hu yoytze beeshug shel kahal mishum shehem dvarim shel yirusha avol yochol liknes mimenu hider eshug v'neiros tabes haknesses afilu ner shel yom ha-kippurim. Okay, so he does make some type of pshara that you generally have to use your own money to buy an object of mitzvah, but when you give to the Beis HaKnesses, you are allowed to use Maaser money. Let's go further. B'shut b'tzel ha'chokma heviu devarav v'kosav shibol shonei nirish agam ha'hidur shel ad shlish, the hidur of ad shlish mutar mikesef Maaser. You're allowed the extra money you're going to pay to buy an Eshrog Mechuder, you're allowed to use your Maaser money for. Uliacha Sheherich Bedidun Kosav Lahatil Liknas Hidr Eshrog Mimos Maaser Behisne milichatchila al mos hamaisna. I'm not sure what that means. You have to make a tanai. Lichatchila, you have to make a tanai. What does a tanai help? I don't know. Vein yicholas biyado lohoitzif mi mos maisra shlish lehalhidu mitzvah machlokes shnuyot. Okay, to add more, he's just saying over here to machlokes. Let's go further. Ach behalichoy shlomo kosav shnirish im yid skum misum likniyasu eshuk. If you designated a specific sum of money to buy an eshuk, battery's going. The battery's dead. So when we take a break, I'll change the battery. We'll just do the best we can for now. Okay, that's his psak. His psak is, if you are certain that you're not going to pay for your estrog more than $50, and now you want to buy a better estrog, you're allowed to take money that you otherwise would have used to give as maisa money, 10% of your assets that you give for maisa, you can use it for a dvar mitzvah. If your custom, now this is the part, your custom is to give your mice money to poor people, osur loy lo kachas mimos masroisov lehidur mitzvah ayinshan. This just rings the bell in my mind, because once I went to visit my brother in shul, where he lives, and the Rav there, the big topic they were talking about, the Rav gave a shiur that Shabbos, was about they just started a campaign to purchase a new Sefer Torah. The shul only had an old Sefer Torah or Sefer Torah on loan, and because the community, they all decided they're going to buy a new Sefer Torah, and slowly everyone will give money. And the question everyone asked the rabbi was, are we allowed to use our Meiser money for the purchase of a new Sefer Torah? So because that was the popular question that was happening, the rabbi gave a shiur that afternoon, that was the topic of his shiur. And he went to the sugya, and he basically was inconclusive. He basically said, there's a big machlokes, what exactly do you give maaser money for? Seems like, I think a very good name is the machlokes, the Ramah. The Ramah is mashma, you only give it for poor people, for aniyim. Another rishonim say, no, maaser is exactly the topic of discussion of is chefse shamayim. And basically, it's a matter of minhag. And people who have an established minhag should do what their minhag is. If you don't have an established minhag, so you basically can do whatever you want. You basically can do whatever you want. Some people, but this is a topic, some are very surprised that even in the Shiloh, you only give meiser money to poor people. Not nuchach. You see over here that there are opinions that say your meiser money can be used to purchase chefsei shamayim. Stalker is chefse shemayim, but buying yourself a beautiful esrog is also chefse shemayim. If the Beis HaKnesses needs a Sefer Torah, that's also chefse shemayim. Okay, so all of these are, it's not clear cut. It's a very vague, that's what I took out of the shir. It's a very vague area in halacha. What is the proper halacha, the halachic parameters of where one directs his meiser kesafin? Next.
They use meiser to support their kids.
That's right. That's tzedakah. That's for sure. Let's say the big question is, what about giving it for tuition? That's the real big question. Are you allowed the meiser money you have? Can you use it to pay tuition? Tuition. So basically, well, not many people are asking that question because you don't have a choice.
Well, they have bad people or someone who's sick.
Oh, that's tzedakah, right? So that's there is tzedakah. That's the big question. The question is, when Chazal in this takan of aser ta aser, what exactly are the guidelines? You see over here, he's telling you from Rav Chaim Berlin that no, you can use it for chavis shem, which would even an eshek. Next topic: zocha behagrola kama mutu litin losses lemitzvah ulitzdaka. Do you win a lottery? How much of the money do you win have so has to go to tzedakah? Kasa rega Rabbeinu Chananel, Rabbeinu Chananel b'sugyan. Aval im zibul like Hashem Baruch Hu mamish loy miigiyoy. Let's say a person has money they did not work for. Bikish lahader halahader mitzvah biyoyse b'shlish or shus biyado. That mahader b'mitzvah b'shubach v'kein kasa v'halacha b'shud minchas alazar. So we learned yesterday. You're not really even supposed to spend more than a third on hiddur mitzvah. The laws of hiddur mitzvah also are also limited. Don't waste your money. Just because you can buy an eshek for $1,000 does not mean it's the right thing to do. Hidden mitzvah is a third, meaning you're not allowed to spend more than a third. So he makes, Rabbeinu Chananel says a chiddush that's only true when you worked for that money. But if that money came to you without yigia, you won a lottery, then you are allowed to take that money and use that money to buy, to spend even more than the limit of a third.
Only earned income.
But let's say you have a windfall. So that is saying
how
you
about
could
stock or interest or stuff like that.
Well, that's earned income.
I don't really. I don't know. Gambling. That's called gambling. I don't know. Let's see. Kasav Kain Al Bizbuz Yosem Chamesh. When it comes to stock, it's the same thing. A person is not going to be Mavazve, it's more than a fifth. Kishamatza Mitzia. If you find a Mitzia, you win a lottery, then you are allowed to give more than a fifth to stock. It's not part of that halacha, it's only earned income. Ubir Shain Zen Mavazve, Mishaloi Ella Mishel Akadosh Baruch Ula Mishud Primavin, Kasav Midas Atzmo, Shemitra Zacha Behagrola. If you win the lottery, Lo Yitain, he disagrees. If you win the lottery, lo yitin yosem mechamesh lo yaf she mazloi goram liskeis beskum kize einoi shoyne dinoi mikolodam. He disagrees. If you win the lottery, you're not allowed to give more. You're not allowed to give more than one fifth. I once heard from a gavir. I didn't hear it directly. I heard from someone who heard from him. He spoke and he said he was in his home Friday night. And he told, you see, this is a very wealthy person. And he said, Vic philanthropist. And he said, the first million he made, he says he felt he earned it. But the second million, the third million, and so on and so forth, he said it was so obvious to him that it wasn't his money. This wasn't my money. It's like Hashem gave me this money to distribute for safekeeping, to this and that. He does not feel that it's his money. The first million, yes, it was my sweat.
I feel the same way.
That's the best line we heard today. Okay, now let's go to. Okay, let's go. I don't have these problems, unfortunately. Okay. Heya Nachwist, next topic, quick topic. Hey Nachwist, is this the controversy, the shekel controversy? Misairo shel mace, to make a pair Nachwist a week from the here of the dead. The dead is osur behana. So does that include the here? Hamaram sheik nishal al peo shel hanoshim, the shetelin, shasuyos misairos mason from the dead. In yesh lochvosh, not the little here from avodah zara, the from the dead. What?
Dead horses.
Shaila is im yesh lachush milashamish ben mibnei shemeis osur behana veheishiv shabiyad aliyo hete zos begam daito noite lahatir al pishidus hapoiskim shemeis nachmi muta behana. So the two reasons. Number one is here is not part of the dead. The dead, the isra hanov meis, is the body, it's the flesh, it's not necessarily the here. And even if you want to say the here is part of the dead body, that's only a dead body of a Yisrael, but not the dead body of a non-Jew. Memeila elu hasar sha'anu don and aleim mustama, we go basur roif. It could very well be that here, we don't know, we have to trace where it comes from. Wherever the here is coming from, if the here is coming from a dead body, so there are a lot of dead irreligious Jews out there that their here has been donated for whatever purpose. But we go basur roif. Roiv, you cannot live in this world if you don't go basura. You cannot eat anything in this world. There's no food. You can go into any supermarket, you cannot eat a piece of food if you're not going to follow the principle of going basura roiv. There's always a roiv. Eilu sara sh'anu don walei mestama roiv oilam goyim heimu mutar v'afla adla ha'poiskim sh'soivim sh'neitz nachri osa b'hano mikol mokam. Here is why he's coming according to the sugin mevur besayis v'sugin sh'sha'aros ha'neitz mutar afilu. That really goes back to the first answer, that here is not a chiluk of the body. That's not what Chazal had in mind when they said neitz osa b'hano mi'afilu b'yishol v'ayin sh'am o tam lahatir zos b'inyin zed don b'shut shuvah sumehava v'kos v'anochi haroya isr chodesh v'zeh sh'ma memash. I investigated people that go and they make where they get the hear from. From where do they get the hear which they use to make wigs? It does not come like people think, it comes from here. So he's writing where people donate their hair. In India, people go in and they have haircuts and they donate their hair. That's not where it comes from. It comes from the dead. ki hasaros asher nukach min achayim hema oivdei adama uchadoimehem hein saros, and people who work in the field the hein saros kitsaros, they're short here mehem oisim ha-migbaos la-noshim, they make migbaos, they make some type of, I don't know, toupees for men maybe. It's not, what? They make toupees for men. Avol oisim shel noshim, they want long hair, tzrichim l'saros aruchois asher nit l'shu ad shiroshom. The EF shalakachas kiyim may sim. Again, this may be outdated, this whatever, it's a theoretical hashayla, but he's saying at one point in time, wigs were made exclusively, or rubadruba from the dead. Vilkachin midalasa from poor people, from who knows where, third world countries. Asher nesim bebeis choylim, v'imkein mulvat sheyesh chashash sakana bedavar shum maos, sharei gozru b'shabas lotzei speser al a shel chaverta mishum sheyesh locho shetosha asear kevan shum maos be'ineho. So besides the fact that the Gemara says that using hair of someone else, the Gemara says to use someone else's hair is disgusting. Mikol shekein kan, b'lvad z'kol zos, hinei yesh ish achav b'davar shekayim olam b'tur, shesear hameis osur b'hanav v'davar zeh isur tairahu. Okay, so he says there are two things. Number one, he says that the Gemara indicates that wearing the hair of another woman is disgusting. It's disgusting in a person's eyes to take the hair of another human being and use it to cover yourself. Ad kidei kach, that on Shabbos you're not allowed to do this, because you may get so, even though when you walk out of your house you're able to tolerate wearing the hair of another human being on your head, when you get out into the street you may have a sudden change of mind and take it off and carry it home. So it may lead to carrying on Shabbos.
The $3,000 wig.
So we'll take out of the Gemara. We take out of the Gemara the concept that again is according that they're weird, that it's the most, it's disgusting. Now that then he says the Tur Paskins, not the Shulchan Aruch, that the hair of the dead is also behana, and this is the Torah. So the question over here is, so what then are going on today? Why then today, if it's true that hair comes from the dead, why then is it mutter? The Herich Sham Ladun b'Machloikas Harishonim im Ser Hameis also behana. Even though Shulchan Aruch says it is, it's not so soon that we accept the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Ulemaisa kosav ha'olam ha'olam min hamakubit she'ein ra'ayin nechoyin lahater meis goy. Bottom line is, he said it's not so simple. L'chein achrei rabbi seinu asher mehem anu chayim anachnu holchem mehem sevim shemeis goy osa behana v'chein shamua shamanu l'divri harishonim shepoiskim shesir hameis osa behana. Umadua, he comes back over here. Madua nokel mok b'mokem sheyesh geder shegadri chacham bitzi b'fritzos v'gili arayis v'das yehudis. Why are we so makel? Ulechein, therefore, dati im yesh biad bezin limchais hayne sheyidabru al libam divrei teichachas musar v'yinohu b'libam l'shmoyim muta. They'll listen.
This is the Maram Sheikh.
This is the Tshuva Me'ava. Who's Tshuva Me'ava? I don't know. The Tshuva Me'ava, the second paragraph, mutov. V'im ein yachinu lohem ki yesh lohem al ma sheyismu. They don't want to listen. Okay, they have what to rely upon. Next paragraph, next page. Ulchasav sheish lismach litzadei b'zem l'sof l'seik seika. Bottom line is, you can be makel to seik seika. Ulai ki poiskim shematir meisnach. First of all, there's a series of poiskim that say that the hair of the dead is mutter, especially when it comes to a guy. V'im tim sulay mash aser afilu nachri ulai ser hameis mutter. Ulai kipoiskim shematidim meis nachri, the intim salama sha'osra filu nachri ulai meis of a nachri ulai sar hameis mutter. Number one, it's a non Jew. Number two, it's from the dead. So you have two things to combine. Maybe the fact that it's from a non Jew, that itself is a heter. And number two, it's from the dead, it's not, okay, I'm not sure. Lachain in daiti shiyasuru in the im shemaim lundivet techachos, vashem yogel evan ne'al levin, Hashem should remove the stone from our hearts, viyasu ovam in amo his nation, viyigalas in his chusnoshim, titkonios, Hashem lundivet techachas musar, viyalichainu el eretz neshaves, Hashem derish asa, vish. Sham Navad Be'emo V'yiras Hashem Elokim Kol HaYamim. Obviously today I'm sure they've resolved all of these issues. What? I'm sure they clean it. I'm sure they sterilize it. I'm sure they do everything possible today.
The high school girls, the big thing now is
they donate it to cancer patients. Right. So obviously, obviously it's safe. They wouldn't allow it if it wasn't safe. It wouldn't be a multi-billion-dollar industry if it wasn't safe and everything is kosher v'yasha. I don't know, they say today it comes from the living, they say it comes from India, that's where the hair comes from today, it comes from people, they grow here, they sell their hair, but there's a lot of hair today that's synthetic, I think most hair today is not human hair.
It depends, the most expensive is human hair.
The $3,000 human hair, that's not synthetic. Okay, this human hair, but that human hair, so they that was the scandal a couple of years ago with that they were cutting L'Shem Avodah Zarah. There was the investigation.
In India,
so obviously they've resolved these issues. Okay, we'll stop over here.